Thanks, team. Well, welcome here again this morning. My name is Keith. If you didn't catch it the first time, I'm delighted to be here to open God's Word for us. A vision, as we began with last week, focus. That's the word I want. Focus. It's important in church. Focus is important in church. Without focus, we get distracted. Without focus, we wander off the path. Without focus, we never arrive at the destination that God is calling us to. Focus is important in the church. Focus, it helps churches effectively live out the calling that Jesus has placed on the churches. And that's to love God, love people, and to make disciples. Focus helps us get there. At Mission Creek Alliance Church, we have a simple focus: to encounter Jesus, empower people, and engage our city and the world beyond. A simple focus of encounter, empower, and engage. And last week, I began to speak into this focus, a focus that will shape our lives together for the coming years. Maybe you didn't know that. A simple focus that will shape us in the years ahead, a focus of encountering Jesus, empowering people, and engaging the city and the world beyond. This focus will move us forward. Last week, we began appropriately by focusing on Jesus, because we believe that everyone needs to encounter Jesus and his transforming love, and it's our focus. This morning, I want to move to consider the second part of our focus, that we desire to be people who are empowered. People empowered by the Holy Spirit. People empowered by the Holy Spirit to flourish as whole human beings. I've chosen a text from Ephesians chapter 4 because I believe this text, it illustrates a great measure of this focus. And so I invite you to turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 4. And if you're not exactly sure, there's Bibles in front of you in the pew. And if you're not certain exactly where that is, it's very close to the end. If you flick through the end there, you'll find the book of Ephesians. And I'll be reading from chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Whoever has ears, let them hear the word of the Lord. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and get this, and we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. You were taught to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self. The new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father,
this morning. We come into your presence, and we ask that your living word would speak, not to our ears, but to our hearts. And so we attune ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would guide us in all truth this morning, that your words would come forth, not mine. And Lord, we want to pray this morning for those of our people that are at our e-camp this morning, all of our young families and a lot of our older families and some of our older adults who are there as well, and our kids. Lord, we pray that you would cover them. And as Pastor Cam speaks this very same message, as he preaches this very same text, this very same word, would you fill him with the same spirit that is living in us? And that you would build your church. And so we thank you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 On the last week of my holidays in the summertime, we were in Vancouver, and my wife Gina was doing the Ride to Conquer Cancer, and so I had a bit of time with the kids, and we decided to go visit my parents who live in Port Coquitlam. And as we hopped in the car, we were met with this great, ferocious wind. You see, there was a severe storm warning for that weekend. And as we drove down the highway, my daughter in the back seat called to me and said, "Dad, look." And there in front of us, we saw these great big trees just swaying in the wind, being bent to and fro by the power, the great power of the wind. And we watched in amazement as this wind, it blew the leaves from the trees, and the sky became virtually dark with all the leaves that were scattering off the trees. Perhaps you were there and you saw it. But before long, it wasn't just the leaves that were blowing off the trees. Branches began to fall down. Then even bigger branches began to fall down. There was even a moment where we had to swerve our car on the highway because a big, huge tree branch fell a few car lengths in front of us. It was powerful. And what normally was a 30-minute trip took over a two-hour journey because trees had been uprooted from their very roots. Trees had been snapped and were scattered across all the roads and the highways. And in the wake of the storm, the experts, they got together and they tried to make sense of why this storm was so devastating. And they came to the conclusion that the storm was so devastating, not just because of the intensity of the wind, but it was so devastating because the ground had not seen water for months. The trees were so dry, they were so brittle that they virtually snapped under the weight of the wind. And that their roots were so unwatered and so malnourished that when the wind came, they were ripped up from their roots and they virtually fell where they used to stand. I believe this is a metaphor for life. That there are times in our life when we feel like these trees, or there are times in our life when we actually live, there are some who live their entire lives like these trees. Let me explain. And sometimes we feel like these trees. We feel dry. We feel brittle. We feel unwatered. There are times in our life where we feel dry and we feel disconnected from God, or we feel disconnected from other people, or we feel disconnected from a life of joy and a life of fullness. Perhaps in this category are people who have tasted the living water of God, but in the season you find yourself in, it's just drought. It's all drought. Sometimes we feel like these trees, and other times there are people who live their entire lives like these trees. They might be impressively tall trees, and on the outside, everything looks good. In fact, they have accomplished much, but underneath the surface, the roots have gone unattended to. The roots are unwatered. The roots are malnourished. That for some people, they spend their lives growing tall but have not cultivated the kind of roots that sustain a life that flourishes. And so when the storm comes, they're ill-equipped to navigate the challenges. That when the storm comes, the roots are ripped from the ground and the tree falls. Sometimes we feel like these trees, and sometimes we live our entire lives like these trees. And if you're here this morning and you feel dry, you feel disconnected, if you're here this morning and you're coming to the realization that you've been living your life without cultivating the kind of roots that sustain a life of flourishing, I want to invite you. I want to invite you to encounter the living Jesus. In fact, even if you're not feeling those things, I want to invite all of us this morning to encounter the living Jesus. There's a story in John chapter 4 of Jesus encountering a woman at a well as he's walking along the road. And this woman, she was like these trees. She was dry. She was disconnected from God and from the people around her. She was on the outskirts of town getting water at a time when no one else would get water. And we can see as we hear in her story that she's the kind of person that hasn't cultivated the kind of roots that sustain a life of flourishing. And Jesus, he comes to this woman and he offers her water. And we're told that it's not just any water, because the water that Jesus offers her is the kind of water that as you drink it, you never go thirsty again. And he is, of course, speaking about himself. This morning, I want to invite you to drink from the living water that is Jesus. Because as we drink from him, we never go thirsty. And in that story, he comes to explain that this water that we drink, it becomes springs of living water that well up from within us. Springs that never run dry. Springs that are always watering the ground on which we stand. Of course, it's the Holy Spirit. And that this living water, we're told in John chapter 4, it leads us to life everlasting. It leads us to a life that goes on into eternity. It leads us into a life that is full, not just in the future, but in the present. I want to invite you to drink from the living water of Jesus this morning, because he never runs dry. He waters our roots. He fills us, and he makes us into the people we were made to be, and he sustains our life, both now and into the future. Consider that your invitation this morning. This is the empowered life that I have just described. This is the empowered life, people empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a life of flourishing. The empowered people of God are people who have opened their lives to the living Jesus, that they have drunk of the living water. They have been filled with the living water that is the Spirit of God. And as they do, their roots begin to be cultivated and changed so that they might live the life that God designed them for. They might live the life of flourishing that God designs us for. This is our focus as Mission Creek Alliance Church. To be people empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a life that flourishes, a life of wholeness, a life that is only found in Jesus. The Apostle Paul, in our text this morning, in Ephesians chapter 4, he says something very similar. He points the Ephesian church to this focus of being empowered by the Spirit to live a life that flourishes, a life of wholeness, the life that we're made for. But he uses very different language than I do, although there's some similarity. Let me point you to the text. Look with me at verse 14 in Ephesians chapter 4. And, you know, if you've closed your Bible, you'll want to open them because I'm going to be spending a lot of time in the text. Look with me again at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, because here Paul speaks about a storm. He speaks about a storm that tosses people back and forth in the waves, and a storm that blows people here and there in the wind. And in the storm analogy that Paul uses, he's not talking about trees blowing in the storm, but rather he's talking about people, a particular kind of person, in fact. He's speaking about an infant. An infant tossed in the waves and the wind. An infant tossed in the storm. An infant that is unstable. That's unknowing. An infant that is untrained and ill-equipped. An infant that is powerless to the forces around them. And here when Paul is speaking of the infant, he's actually describing some of the people within the church. He's describing some of the people whom he would call who are in Christ. Paul often uses that term in Christ to refer to people who have put their faith and their life in Jesus. And so Paul goes on to describe that some of those who are in Christ, some of those who are part of the church, are like infants. That they're being tossed around by the wind and the waves. That they're unstable. That they're unknowing. That they're untrained. They're ill-equipped. And that they're powerless. They're powerless to the forces around them. And so Paul goes on then, of course, to say that a state of perpetual infancy is no life for those who are in Christ. That the focus of our Christian life is to grow in our spiritual maturity from infancy to maturity. The focus for Paul is that we become people who grow up, people who mature in our Christian faith. Listen with me to the Word of God in verse 11 and following. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Do you hear? Whoever has words, or whoever has ears, let them hear. Do you hear? So the body of Christ may be built up, so that we may become mature, so that we may attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Listen with me as the Word of God speaks on. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. Do you hear? Whoever has ears, let them hear. Do you hear what the Spirit of God is saying? We will grow to become, in every respect, the body of Jesus. Do you hear? Our Christian focus is to grow in maturity. Our Christian focus is to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The whole measure. The fullness of Christ. Our Christian focus is to become in every way the body of Jesus. In every way, the body of Jesus. I find this staggering. I find this calling humbling. Becca, God's desire for you is that you would attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And that you would become in every way the body of Jesus. Then, God's desire for you is that you would attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And that in every way you would become the body of Jesus. Who else? People of God. Michael. God's desire is that you would attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ and that you would become in every way the body of Jesus. People of God, God's desire for us is that we would attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ and that we might become in every way the body of Jesus. What a focus. What a calling. And Paul has a particular way of speaking about this growth in our Christian maturity. He speaks about it as putting on the new self. Listen with me again to the Word of God in verse 22 and following. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and, get this, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you hear? Whoever has ears, let them hear. Do you hear what the Spirit of God is saying? Put on the new self. Put on the new self created to be like God. Put on the new self created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. And it's at this point that I have to say, hold the phone. Wait for just a minute. Because we can understand the call to grow in Christian maturity. We can understand the call to grow up, can't we? We get that. The call to grow up, to be kind, to be polite, to share. We get that. We understand the call to grow up, to make friends, or to learn to make amends. We get that. We understand the call to grow up, to take responsibility for ourselves, to act like an adult. We get that. We understand the call to grow up, to learn for ourselves, to provide. We get that. But the call to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, the call to become in every way the body of Jesus, the call to put on the new self that's created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. I mean, surely people can't grow up to that, can they? But that's precisely the calling that Jesus places on the church, and it's precisely what he empowers us to do. It's precisely what he empowers us to do. So the question becomes, how do we do it? How do we put on the new self? What does this really mean? What does it look like? Well, I believe the Apostle Paul, he points us toward an answer about putting on the new self. And we see it in a different letter that he writes. It's in a letter to the Colossians. And it's in Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And here, the Apostle Paul is talking about what it means to move from the old self to the new self. And the old self, he begins to say, it's put to death. And the image he normally uses of this is baptism. That the old self is put to death when we go under the waters of baptism, and when we come up, we're raised to a new self, a new life in Christ, just as Jesus was risen from the dead. But here, let me read to you the word. He writes in Colossians 3:3, "For you died, your old self, it died, but your new self now, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Do you hear? Whoever has ears, let them hear. Do you hear what the word of the Lord is saying? That those who are in Christ are now hidden with Christ in God. That the new self is the self that is hidden with Jesus in glory. That where Jesus is, there you also are. That's what the term means, that we are in Christ, and the reality is that we can't get any closer than in. Where Jesus is, there you also are. So the new life in Christ is about being hidden with God the Father, or hidden in God the Father with Jesus the Son. And if you remember a few months ago, I used the analogy of the Russian nesting dolls. Do you remember this one? You remember those dolls? I wish I had one. You have the bigger doll and you open it up and there's a smaller one inside. You open that, there's a smaller one inside. We're like the small one inside. And that when we put our faith in Jesus, when we put our life in Jesus, we go inside Jesus. That we're in Christ and you can't get closer than in. And then in Christ, we're hidden with Christ in God, God the Father. Is the doll that comes over top. And so this is what I really need you to know. And we all need to know this, that Jesus on the cross, through his sacrifice, he has made a way for us to participate in the very life of God. that through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, he has made a way for us to be in Christ and then hidden with Christ in God. He invites us to participate in the full life of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He invites us into that circle of the Trinity. It's mind-blowing. Allow me to try and explain this a little bit better using words that I have picked up from Darrell Johnson, a brilliant theologian and preacher. He says this in one of his sermons. At the center of the universe is a relationship between a father and a son, a relationship so pulsating with life that the relationship itself is a breathing. It's a spirit. It's a person. The Holy Spirit. And out of that relationship, we were made. And for that relationship, we were made. Long before we came on the scene, the relationship was there. The Trinity God, the Triune God, was there. Infinitely happy being God. Not lonely, not needy. And one day, if we can say day before time came into being, and one day, the Father says to the Son, "This is too good to keep to ourselves. Let us make creatures in our own image to enjoy what we enjoy." And so God made us. He made us. And when we were so foolish as to turn away from such a life and run off on our own, God did not give up. God came after us. God came down, all the way down, in our flesh. And he calls us, "Come. Come to me. Come to me, and I will bring you back. Come to me, and I will bring you back into that for which the Father and I have made you." That's beautiful. He will bring you back into that for which the Father and Jesus have made you. Back into the circle. Back into the relationship at the center of the universe. And now we need to understand this, that it's from this place of relationship in Jesus. It's from the center of the circle, of the relationship, at the center of the universe, that we are empowered to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Jesus. That it's from this relationship that we are empowered to become the church in every sense of the word. To in every respect become the body of Jesus. It's from the center of this relationship that we can put on the new self, the self that's created to be like God, the self that is righteous and holy. The Christian maturity is about living into this relationship, and it's about living out of that relationship. It's about living into the relationship that we've been invited back into. And from that place, we're filled with the Spirit so that we might live out the life of God in our city and our world, full of righteousness and holiness. See, sometimes we're tempted to believe that Christian maturity is about learning to imitate Jesus. I've said things like this in the past. That our Christian maturity is about us learning to imitate Jesus. And the scriptures use some kind of language like that, but not that language. It speaks about imitating. But here's the challenge. I think that this misses the point. The Christian maturity isn't about learning to imitate Jesus. And theologian Helmut Thielicke, a German theologian, I think he helps us in this regard because he makes the distinction between Jesus as our model and Jesus as our prototype. You see, when Jesus is our model, then we model our life after him in the sense that the Christian maturity is about learning to act like him. The Christian maturity is us trying to learn to act like him and talk like him and sacrifice like him and love like him. And if you've ever tried on your own strength to do these things, you find that you fail rather quickly. Just read the Sermon on the Mount. That's maybe a good tester. And see if you act and live like Jesus. When Jesus is the model, we're doomed to fail. But when Jesus is the prototype, when Jesus is the one who lived the perfect life, and that we live into him, and as we live into him, as we get to know him, as we allow him to love us and change us, something begins to happen. We begin to realize that it's his life that we were made for, that it's his life that we were rescued for. See, when Jesus becomes the prototype, we come to see that the goal of Christian maturity isn't trying to act like Jesus, but rather it's stepping into relationship with the living God at the center of the universe, and there so being transformed by that living God that it's the life of God that lives out of us. We don't produce our own righteousness and holiness, but as we live in God, his righteousness and holiness, they flow out of us. And they do this through the Holy Spirit. You see, we don't live up to Jesus. We never can. We don't live up to Jesus. We live into Jesus. This is the act of Christian maturity. We don't make ourselves like Jesus. Rather, Jesus makes us like him. Righteousness and holiness flow not out of ourselves, but out of the God in whom we live and move and have our being. How? Well, it's through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. That it's the Spirit of Jesus who imparts Christ to us and empowers the life of Christ in us. At Mission Creek Alliance Church, our focus is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit so that we might flourish as whole human beings. Human beings that were created to be like God. Human beings that were created and redeemed to be in every respect the body of Jesus. Human beings that were created to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is our focus. Now, I want to share something important with you as I try and pull things to a close. I will pull things to a close, I promise. Paul here isn't calling individuals to an individual maturity. Rather, Paul is calling a community of individuals to a communal maturity. There's a difference. He's not calling individuals to an individual maturity. He's calling a community of individuals to a communal maturity. That we all have a role to play, and we don't play it on our own. That to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to live a life of flourishing, means that we are on this journey with other people. I see no other way. The scriptures leave room for no other way. And here at Mission Creek Alliance Church, we have a specific strategy for being the empowered people of God. And it's our groups that meet throughout the week. And starting this fall, we're kicking off a number of new groups that are called e-groups. They're called empower groups because we are firmly convinced that to be empowered by the Holy Spirit means we are walking in journey with other people who are opening our lives to his searching and his work of transformation in our life. And our desire is that every single person that calls Mission Creek Alliance Church their home is part of a group that's being empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a life that flourishes. That every single person is part of a group that is cultivating the kind of roots that sustain a life that flourishes. Everyone, because it's our focus. And we have groups that fall under this category of e-groups that have been going for a long, long time, and they will continue to go on. We have some women's groups that meet. We have our women's groups that meet. There's one that meets on Monday evening and one that meets on Tuesday morning. So those are opportunities for you to get plugged in if you haven't. We also have groups, men's groups that meet on Wednesday. There's one Wednesday morning and there's one Wednesday in the evening. And we have midweek groups for youth and for preteen that meet to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we have a new group starting up called, and we're calling it, of course, the E group. And we'll be doing the reframe. And you've seen a bit of that this morning already. That we desire to go through this 10-week discipleship journey so that we might reframe our story and open ourselves to the living God to be empowered to be the church in every sense of the word. And from there, well, we'll see where the Spirit takes us. So this morning, I want to call you to focus. To focus your attention on the living God. That as we meet with Jesus, to be filled with the living water of the Holy Spirit, and to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Jesus. To become in every respect the body of Christ. To put on the new self that is created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Father, make it so.